information. If you have any queries or questions, I will be available after the Sunday service. You can talk with me personally. And we have some information brochures also somewhere behind. I think some brother will help you to get those brochures. Kindly continue to uphold us and the ministry back at home in our daily prayers. And kindly remember us in our daily prayers and church prayers also. English is not our language. The first thing I need to tell you, English is a learned language for us. It is a secondary language in our schools. So not everybody knows in India how to speak English. But I picked up little language so that I can convey some things to you. That's why my wife Arna was not able to speak in English fluently. So it's a foreign language for us. I will try to make you clear what I'm trying to tell you, and you need to maybe keenly listen to me because my accent and my vocabulary are a little different. I love to stay in the Keystone village town. You don't call it village. We call it villages. Small towns are called villages in India. So Keystone village is, since Friday I'm leaving, Friday, Saturday, this is the Sunday. Tomorrow also I will leave part of the day. Then I will leave to different cities in US. So Keystone is very wonderful. Why I am telling these words? I was born and brought up in a small village called like Keystone village. My village is very small, and there was no electrical power, no proper roads. We don't have vehicles. We used to make our studies in a kerosene lamps in the night hours. It was very difficult in those days. We never had a power and the proper transportation. In such a very poor and remote and rural area, village, I was born and brought up there. When Jeannie and Bell was taking to show me all the village, just I was remembering all the memories from my childhood when I was born and brought up in my little town. I see in the Bible also such kind of village which is called the Bethlehem. Bethlehem was such a small town. In Bible we read that in the book of Micah, 5th chapter, 2nd verse says, "O Bethlehem, you are very small in your clan," it says. "You are not so important town. You are not so famed town. But God has a great purpose for that little town." Now today, Bethlehem became very famous and very well-known town in the whole entire world. So in the such kind of a small town, I was born and I was brought up in my childhood. I had gone through a disease in my life which was called tetanus. I hope you understand that word. Tetanus, a disease called tetanus. I got that disease and I was in the hospital for 6 long months under the supervision of the medical doctors. After six months of the treatment, they declared that I am dead and gave my dead body to my parents. My mother was a praying lady. She just was crying in the presence of the Lord, pouring her heart. "Lord, why did you take my son?" Because I was the youngest in the family. I have one brother and two sisters in my family, but I was the youngest in the family. So my mother was heartbroken when this happened to me. At that time, God spoke to my mother when she was crying and pouring out her heart in the presence of the Lord by reminding a Bible verse from Isaiah 42nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. "A bruised reed shall not be broken, a quenched flax will not be put off." That's what the God was speaking to my mother. From there, she understood that God is going to revive my son. And then she came out, shouting that my son is not dead, God is going to revive him, don't make any plans to make the funeral of my son, because everybody was making funeral outside of my house. So at that time, everybody thought my mother was gone insane and are mad. But people came around my body and just they were searching what is happening all around. At that time, one of my little fingers was just moving little. Then everybody thought that there is a little life. He was moving, he's not dead. Then they took my body to the hospital again, and doctors gave me treatment, and God gave me a new life. Therefore, I am here to speak with you now. I am a person, not a spirit. God resurrected me from the death. So at that time, both my parents, they were Christians. They dedicated my life for the ministry of the Lord, saying that our son is dead, but the son we have now is your son. Therefore, we commit this son into your ministry. So they have surrendered my life unto the ministry of the Lord while I was 2 years old. I did not know any of these things because I was just 2 years old at that time. So in the same process, my parents brought me in the fear of the Lord. They used to teach me the Bible from the very childhood. But in the 1981, when I was grown and around 16 years old, I went to the college studies. And I was sitting in a church like this, that was a Lutheran church in my teenage, that was a youth meeting. In the youth meeting, I was sitting in the church like this because one of my friends have invited me to come and sit in the youth meeting. When I was sitting in the last bench in the Lutheran church in 1981, God started speaking with me very personally. That was the time I heard the voice of God from the word of God. When a man of God is teaching from the pulpit, God was speaking to me very personally, revealing me, speaking to me that what kind of man am I? I am not a perfect man. I am a sinner. I need the salvation. I need to accept the Lord as my Lord and Savior and the forgiver of my sin. That was the time when I knelt down on the floor. I used to sit on the bench to hear the word of God. But without my knowledge, I came onto my knees and tears rolling down from my eyes. Just I was crying and just repenting of my old life, hypocritical life. I used to behave like a good man, good boy in front of my parents, but I was not good. I used to pretend my life, but God was speaking all these things unto my heart. So then I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just I repented all of my sins and weaknesses. From there, I gave my heart to the Lord. Then God called me from His word, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you come and preach my kingdom unto the people." From Luke's 9th chapter, this verse came to me from the Lord into my heart very strongly. That was the time I personally dedicated my life for the ministry of the Lord. Then I asked my pastor to give me a theological training because I did not know anything from the Bible until that time. Then my pastor sent to a Bible college which is placed in the north part of India. That's where I do not know anything until the age of 18 years. I do not know any word from the English because our language is different language. We speak 160 languages in our country in India. My mother tongue is called Telugu. Only I know that mother tongue Telugu, and other than I do not know anything. But my pastor sent me to have the Bible Theological College in English media, which is unknown to me. So I went to the Bible college. I was sitting in the classes and nothing is understandable to me. I cannot understand anything because all the teachers in that Bible college are from Norway, Sweden and London, England. They came from all these European countries and they established that Bible college and they were teaching in pure English, which I don't understand at all. For 6 months, I was struggling in the Bible college, and then I thought it's not the good place for me to be trained in this college. I need to get away from this Bible college and go back. Having these kind of thoughts on my mind, me and one of my friends in the Bible college, we fasted and prayed for 3 days to know why God has brought us into this Bible college, which I don't understand anything. Then after praying for 3 days, God touched my mind, my senses, to understand the teaching, what they are teaching in the classes. From that time onwards, God opened my understanding to receive the teaching, what they are teaching. Then rest of the 2.5 years, I was able to perceive the teaching and understand and follow whatever they are teaching. By the time I was graduated from the Bible college, God made me to get the first grade in my class in that year. That was the miracle of God in my life. After finishing my Bible college, God has called me to the ministry in a city called Hyderabad. Hyderabad is the capital city of my whole state in India. But I have never seen Hyderabad in my with my own eyes. I have never gone personally to the city of Hyderabad. That was the first time God called me to start the ministry in a city of Hyderabad. I was very afraid. I did not want to go in the beginning to go to that big city. It is a very big city. Now, 10 million people live in my city. It's a very huge and big city. Jeannie has seen it. 10 million people live in my city. And it is a crazy city, I tell you. All the traffic and the people and the roads, everything is very, very, very busy. When I come to America, I don't see any people on the roads at all. Not many cars on the road. But if you come to India, you see thousands of people on the road like ants. They will be going here and there. Everywhere you see the people and the motorbikes and the scooters and the cars, everything you see on the road. Day and night, they will be just moving on the roads. Very, very busy towns and cities. So when I heard that about the Hyderabad, I was really not ready to go to that big city to start the ministry, because I was born and brought up in a small countryside village. God inspired my heart when I prayed again with my friend. God inspired my heart. This is the place where I am preparing for you to start the ministry. Then in obedience to the inspiration of God, in 1986, when I was 21 years old, in 1986, in obedience to the call of God, I went to the city of Hyderabad. Then just with two families, I started the church in that great city. Just two men and two women used to sit with me for the Sunday worship, and I used to preach to them not less than 1 hour every Sunday, and we used to go for the evangelism, giving the New Testaments and the gospel tracts to all our city people in the neighborhood, in the colonies and suburbans everywhere. And in the as we have been working like that with that two families, God added 60 families in the course of the 6 months of the evangelism in that area in the Hyderabad city. Like that, God has helped us to start the central church. And with the help of the central church, I used to have a great burning burden for the perishing souls in the villages and in the other counties in the surrounding the Hyderabad big city. So with the burden, I used to take the Bible and the gospel flyers and the New Testaments and go into the villages to preach the gospel and distribute the gospel tracts in the villages. In the Hyderabad church people, there are some nearly 15 to 20 families in my central church who are really ready to help with me in taking the gospel to the villages. That has really a great blessing to me to promote the ministry and to spread the love of God into many thousands of people with the help of these church elders and the men and women who are really interested taking the word of God into the hearts of the people, we used to reach the villages with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In that course, we used to hire the vans because we don't have any automobile, no cars, no vans. For us, we used to ride the two-wheeler, smaller motorbikes only for our uses. But to take 10 people, 15 people with me, I have to hire the automobiles to take them into the villages. That was the time Pastor Gene Cunningham and Nancy Cunningham came to India for a conference. I was a professional translator in my country because whenever the people like you visit my country, they don't understand your language, English. So when you speak, we have to translate into our language, Telugu. So I used to work as a translator beside my church, working in my church also. So I used to be a good translator in those days. I was translating Pastor Gene and Nancy when they came in 1993, first time to India. I was translating, they acquainted with me, they made friendship with me during the course of 1 week. I stayed with them. Then they asked about my ministry, what I'm doing. They showed interest that we want to come and see our ministry. Then I took them and took to the villages what we are doing, and my central church and all the villages. When they saw the ministry what we are doing in the villages, God touched their hearts and they came up to help us financially, because we are doing whatever we can, but we don't have sufficient finances to build the churches, train the pastors, send the people into the village ministries. So that was the time God inspired Pastor Gene Cunningham and Nancy Cunningham, and they brought a very good friend from Washington, Spokane, a man called Ken Buck, who is their cousin, Gene's cousin. So with the help of Ken Buck and Gene Cunningham, we started building the churches in the villages, and we started training the pastors, young men and women, for the ministry, who are dedicated and called for the ministry like that. For many, many years we have been training and sending the young pastors and young women into the ministry. Like that, God has started this ministry and promoting the ministry. By God's grace, for the glory of God, I am telling, so far we were able to construct 125 church buildings in the villages, in the counties, and given those buildings to the pastors who are working in the villages to use it for the expansion of the kingdom of God in the rural India. Therefore, I would like to pray for the ministry, what is happening there. And we have trained 13 batches so far in our Grace Bible College. Grace Bible College, each year at least 20, 25 or 30 youngsters, they used to come from the villages and stay with me all the year. My wife used to cook for them, and we used to take care of all their needs and make them to sit and teach them the word of God systematically, all the basic doctrines and the basic teaching, like Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, and the study of some of the books like Romans and James and Hebrews and the church history, what all the things they need to learn from the word of God, at least basic knowledge of the word of God to these youngsters. That's what you heard the testimonies in the videos also. By God's grace, we were able to send all these men who are trained in our Grace Bible College, to send them into the villages. And we need to support every month. We have to support every month, because in villages they cannot live by themselves. People are not ready to help them, because very newly we send them into the village, where there is no Christian at all. Therefore, just we send them, we hire a small house and put them in that house. We pay the rent of that house and we give something to feed that family. Then they live maybe 3 months or 6 months and try to share the gospel of God in those villages and make acquaintance, friendship with the villagers there. Then try to lead them into the salvation. Slowly, maybe with 5 people or 10 people, they start the Sunday worship And then we used to try to find a piece of land and buy it and construct a church in that village so that the pastor can promote the ministry and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in that village. Like that, we have reached many, many villages by God's grace. Hundreds of villages we have reached with the gospel of God. But in 50 villages, by God's grace, we were able to establish solid churches where the pastors are stationed and pastors are looking after the churches. When we went first, when we first go to the village, not a single family you can find who loves the Lord. Not a single Christian you can find in the villages. But after we place the pastor and after a few months of spreading the gospel and teaching the gospel, the word of God from door to door, from house to house, from person to person, we can find churches being established. In some of the churches, we find 50 people. In some churches, we have the 150, 200 people also. There are some churches who are really bigger than my central church also. In Hyderabad, in my central church, we have nearly 600 people attending every Sunday into my Sunday service where I am pastoring in the church. So in the villages also, God is promoting the ministry, bringing, drawing many souls into his salvation, for which we are really happy and thankful to God what God is doing in our lives. We are very weak and very small people, but as I was reminding you, Bethlehem was a small town, but God picked a man like David from a small town called Bethlehem. That was the my life when I think of my personal life. In an unknown town where there is no electricity also. In my childhood, I never knew what is the cooking range or the gas stove. No, we used to prepare our food with the firewoods only. We used to go into the forest, bring the firewood and prepare the food for our family every day. That was the style of our living in that small village. But from that village, God has called me. God has a great purpose for my life, in my life, which I never understood in my life. If you would like to turn to the Bible, I would like to take you to Psalm 40. Please look into your Bibles if you can. Psalm 40 in verses 5, there David says a wonderful words in this psalm. Psalm 40 verse 5, he says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." That's what the words of David. When I read this scripture portion, I think of the life of David from his very bottom of the heart, from remembering many things what God has done in his life. He was recalling and thanking to God, "Lord, thank you for making for doing wonderful things in my life." Because we know that he was born in a small town called Bethlehem, which is not at all notable. And he was born in a family called Jesse's family, which is not a big family. See, Jesse was known to nobody in there in that town or in that county. He was unknown man. And his family was not great. His town was not great. But God called this little boy from that very town called Bethlehem. And when we think of life of David, even his brothers did not notify him. Among his brothers also, they neglected him. They counted him very small. "You are very young. You are good for nothing." Even when we think of the parents of David also, even the father of David, he never notified. He is just a boy. "He will look after my sheep and he will look after my cattle. But I have other elder sons who works for the military, who works for our country, who work for our army." But David is not good for army. I do not know whether what kind of education he has I do not know what all the backgrounds he has, but when we read the life of David, he was neglected in everything. He was very small, unnotified man. But when we read these words from the bottom of the heart of David, he says that Lord has many thoughts towards me. Lord has many things, many purposes for my life. Though my brothers have neglected me, my family has neglected me, my parents have neglected me, but my God did not neglect me. That's why he is telling in the other psalm, he is telling, bless the Lord, O my soul, from the bottom of my heart, bless his holy name. Because when I was a neglected boy in a little town called Bethlehem, God has picked me up. God has a great purpose for my life. When I remember the life of David, I can compare my life with that little boy David. Because I was born in a very small town, and my family was not a big family, and I was the youngest boy in my family, and my family used to call me a sick boy in the family, because I had a tremendous, very terrible disease. I was dead. God raised me, and they used to call me sick boy. In my family, they used to treat me, you are a weak boy, sick boy, just sit around and don't do any hard thing. They would never give me any kind of work, because thinking that I cannot do anything, cannot help anything in my family. I have an elder brother, he used to do all the heavy work, because I cannot do anything, because I was a sick boy and very feeble in my childhood. That was the case. But when I think of my life like David, God has a great plans and purposes for my life to be used in his hands to promote the kingdom of God and the word of his truth for many, many people, for which I praise God. I am extremely thankful and happy for the Lord, for the purpose that God has given me. I would like to encourage men and women, dear young sisters and brothers, sons and daughters here. God has a great plan for each and every person. It's not only me. It's not only David. But for each and every person. No person upon the planet of this earth was created vainly, wastely. No. God has a great purpose for each and every young boy and girl, each and every man and woman upon the planet of this world, in our family. If you recognize God as a shepherd of your life, if you recognize God as a God, as a savior of your life, and God will reveal his plans and purposes in your life so that you can glorify his name. There is nobody who cannot glorify the Lord in our lives. There are many people I see that they live like vagabonds on the streets. They have no purposes. They are like empty clouds. Just they are driven by the winds without any sources of water. But man's life is not like that. God has created every man with a great purpose. I never thought in my life that I would come to a great country like America. I was born in a small town, I told you, and I came to a small town like Keystone. I came from uttermost part of the world, from India. God has brought me uppermost part of the world, like the Keystone in Iowa, like this. Amen. God has a purpose for my life. If God has a purpose for a little man who has no importance, nobody recognizes me in India also. In my town, nobody recognizes my family. But God recognized me. God took me, picked me up from that little town, and he is using me for the expansion of his kingdom. For the glory of God. He has taken me into the hundreds of villages to preach the very word of God to thousands of people. God has helped me to stand upon the platforms where 10,000 people used to gather to preach them the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, just the love of God, which I am not never eligible or able to count myself to be able to stand in such kind of platforms. But God has used me and blessed me so much to take the love of God to thousands of people, to hundreds of villages, to train dozens of pastors, to connect many dozens of churches, to bless many, many people. Why I'm telling these things? I'm not boasting myself. I don't want to uplift my name and tell about my thing. But what I'm trying to tell, I want to glorify the Lord for what God has done in my life and through my life with my little family. If God can do such wonderful things to the feeble man like me and my wife, I tell you, God can use you, dear brother. God can use you, dear sister. If you stand for God, if you surrender your life for God, I'm not telling you come as a pastor or a servant of God and do the ministry. No. If you are a computer engineer, you do it. If you are an agricultural man, you do your agriculture. But if you have a heart for God like David, God can use you very powerfully in the field where you are working, in the office where you are working, in the company where you are working. God can make a very powerful testimony and witness for the expansion of his kingdom. If God can use David, if God can use a feeble man like me, I tell you, God can use everybody in the church in this morning, depending if you respond to God. If you know the will of God for your life, if you want to follow like David has followed in his life. We know Psalm 23 very well. We call the shepherd's psalm. That was the beginning of the David's experience. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know all the Sunday school children also can recite all the six verses of the Psalm 23. That was the beginning experience of the David while he was a young boy shepherding the flock of his dad in the little town called Bethlehem. He was a very good shepherd. He was very sincere in the little work which was given to him by his parents. His dad told him, just go into the fields, take care of my sheep and the cattle, what is in there in the field. And he was very, very faithful in that little work. It was a shepherd work, but he was very sincere, very faithful. If you read the Psalm 23, verse by verse, word by word, we can understand how David was sincere in that field while he was looking after his sheep. He did not want to see his sheep hunger. He did not want to see his flock go thirsty. That's why he wanted to feed the, take care of the sheep, giving them grass, giving them a good, nice, cool water. And he doesn't want to his sheep to be wounded and sick. Everything he used to take care of his sheep. That's what the whole Psalm 23 it says, he anoints my head with oil. He used to anoint the head of the sheep every now and then, because when he puts the oil on the head of the sheep, you know what happens? They heal the wounds on the body of the sheep. The oil he puts on the head of the sheep, if there is any kind of wounds or cracks, any broken wounds, that oil used to heal them totally, and they are healthy and strong. That's why he was very sincere in the work his father has given him. In that work also, he was responding and recognizing, God, I am the shepherd of my sheep, but I have a big shepherd over me. As I am taking care of my sheep, there is a shepherd who takes care of me. That's what he understood. That's why he has written Psalm 23. I am taking care of my sheep, but he is taking care of my welfare. If I need a feeding, he feeds me. If I am thirst, he gives me water. If I am sick, he anoints me, my head with oil to heal me. If I am distressed, walking in the valley of the shadow of death, as I am releasing my sheep, I have a Lord who releases me from the valley of shadow of death. That's the experience David has with the Lord very personally. That's the great strength David could follow all his life in the ways of the Lord. Wherever you are working, whatever the work God has given us, if we are faithful, in the little things, I tell you, the Bible is encouraging us, God will take from the little place to the higher place for His glory's sake. Amen. It is very true, dear friends, when we are faithful in the little things. Just I used to have 4 people, I told you, in my church. But I was very faithful. God gave me that heart to be faithful with that little church. God has given me enlarged church. Now at least 600 people come and worship with me on every Sunday. First I used to rent a building for my Sunday services. Then people expelled me from the rented house. They told, you cannot worship in my house anymore. Then I have to go and find a small place and put a small thatched shed where 20 or 30 people can sit with me and worship the Lord. Then we are praying, God is bringing more people into the salvation, and the thatched shed was not sufficient. Then we have to break the shed and build this much church after that. And God bringing more people as we are evangelizing in the city and in the villages. And again we have to break the discharge of church. Now we have nearly 1,000 people can sit in my church now. In the upstairs and in the downstairs also. God has really extended the boundaries of the ministry where I have been working. Therefore, what I am telling, if you are really faithful in what God has given to you, God is going to extend our boundaries in our family, in our job, in our ministry, whatever the work we do in our lives, because He is a faithful God who has called us and who has a leading in our lives. Therefore, Psalm 23, I love it. Everybody loves it. I love it very much. I do not know how many hundreds of times I have talked and taught on the subject called Psalm 23. Therefore, when I read this particular Psalm, Psalm 23, I can understand how David was very faithful, very sincere in the work he has given him. And at the same time, while he is working there, he was relating everything to the Lord. All his experiences with the flock of his father, he was relating everything to his living God, saying that God is my shepherd. He cares for me. He leads me. He restores me. He comforts me. He gives me the eternal life. In the 6th verse, he says, therefore, when we feel the presence of God wherever we are working, whether you are driving a tractor, maybe you are working in an office, you are a computer engineer, you are doing something somewhere, we need to feel the very presence of the Lord with us. Then when we relate our situation to our living God, He will transform the situations. He can change the situations from bad to good, from darkness to life, from low life to the higher level for His glory's sake. Now, I would like to take you to another psalm which was written by David, Psalm 145. There also David speaks a wonderful words concerning the Lord. Psalm 145, first verse it says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. This was also written by King David. Once he was a shepherd boy, he wrote the Psalm 23. Now from the shepherd boy, we know the story of David. I need not to tell you. Everybody, you know it. God has exalted him and taken him from the fields where he was shepherding the sheep to a place where he can reign the whole kingdom of Israel. First, God anointed him over his house when the Samuel came. Then he anointed him over his tribe called Judah. Then God anointed him over all the 12 tribes as a king. Over the 12 tribes, we know the life of David and all the hierarchical system of God has exalted him. Now, he is the king over the 12 tribes of Israel now. David is a king, a wonderful, a powerful king that ever came in Israel. He ruled the country for 40 long years, we know that.
He extended the kingdom of Israel to end to the end. Whatever the war he has gone, everywhere God gave him victory in every place. We know the life of David, how victorious God was with him to extend the kingdom of Israel while he was ruling. Now in Psalm 40, 145, now he recognizes God has his king now. He understands that I am the king over the Israel. I am the king ruled for 40 long years over the land of Israel as a high king, a victorious king. But I have a king over me who rules me, who takes me, who gives me victory in my life. That's what he thinks. That's what he writes. Of course, it is a prophetical psalm. We understand that. But the words of David tell us what is sitting in his heart. He was telling that, I will extol you, O Lord. You are my king, he says, O king. I am a king to my people, but you are king to my king. That's why we call our Lord. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He came from a small, humble starting as a shepherd boy. Now, David became a very powerful king over the kingdom of Israel. But the one thing, he never forgot the Lord. Amen. He never forgot the Lord in all this process of his life. There are many blessings came upon. There are many situations came upon into the life of David. But he never neglected the Lord. He never forgot the Lord. He never forgot the house of the Lord. He has a great passion. He has a great desire. Most of the time he used to spend in the presence of the Lord. When we read the history of the family of David. Therefore, David was more closer, just going more close, as God was exalting him and just taking him to the higher heights. This is the danger in man's life. When we start in the beginning, we are okay. But when God blesses us, sometimes man's tendency is to neglect God and his word and his work in our lives. That's the general tendency of the mankind. But because David did not do that, more God blessed him, more humble he was. In my country, we used to grow the rice field, rice paddy. It's a 90 to 100 race crop it is. So when we plant a single plant of the rice, it stands very firm. Just stand still. And after maybe 1.5 months, a corn comes from the plant. And the corn, when it comes newly, it stands very still. It looks very beautiful. But as the corn is becoming more solid and hard, and the seeds are getting more solid and hard, as the plant is growing, seed is growing, what happens? The corn start to bend down. When the corn is empty, it is standing just like this. Look at me. I am me, myself, it says. But when the corn becomes solid and useful for the people, by the time we harvest the rice field, all the corns bend down to the ground almost because they are full of corns. They are heavy, but they don't stand like this. You understand me what I am telling? As much God blesses us, like David, we need to humble down, go down and down. We need to forget me, look at me, myself, hear me. No, it is you, Lord, it's not me. That's the tendency of David. That's the heart of David. He is always extolling the Lord. He was exalting the Lord. Now in Psalm 145, he says, though I am a king, I have a great king. I have a king of kings over me who helped me to do all this kingdom, to extend this kingdom for his namesake. If you keep on reading the same chapter, Psalm 145, somewhere in the verses says,
12:1-13, he says, Psalm 145:12-13 says, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. In 13th verse he says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all the generations. He was thinking of the kingdom of God. He was a king. He has all kinds of power and authority over the 12 tribes of Israel. But he is recognizing very clearly the power of God and the kingdom of God. Lord, my kingdom may vanish. I may go down. My kingdom may break down. But your kingdom endures forever and ever. All the majesty and glory belongs to your kingdom only. What I am trying to tell you, dear friends, when he was a shepherd boy, he recognized the Lord. Now when he became a great king over the kingdom of Israel, still he was very close to the Lord and recognizing the Lordship in his life. So when we humble ourselves, when we draw close to ourselves, what all the situations may come into our lives and families and jobs that we do, God is worthy to be praised in our lives. So that's why God said to David, he is the man after my own heart. Amen. He is the man after own heart. Therefore, from a small village God has brought me, but God has given me a huge ministry. Now Jeannie comes and many other sisters do come. We used to have a wonderful ministry with the little children. And still, as the days are, years are going, I have finished 31 years in my ministry. This is my 32nd year in my ministry, but I have a great passion still to reach my country, my people, for the kingdom of God. Kindly pray for us, pray for me, for my wife. We have a son called Joshua. Now he is going through Bible training in a different college. Pray for our little family. And we do have passion and burden to work for the Lord. That's the just whole purpose of our lives concerning the Lord. Kindly continue to pray for us. And we promise you that each and every penny which is given by your church or any man, any church from this land is being faithfully put into the ministry back in India. Therefore, kindly pray for our safety. And there are now the government is not at all good towards the Christianity in India. A Hindu motivated government is ruling our country at present. Our Prime Minister is called Narendra Modi, who came from a very strong Hindu background and such kind of doctrines. Therefore, they are trying to harass the Christian people and trying to just destroy the churches and trying to kill the pastors and abuse the people. All kinds of persecution is going on in the land. I would like to request you to pray for us, for our pastors, for the not only our organization, I mean, but pray for all Indian Christian ministry. We want to see India being brought unto the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ through the efforts that we are doing by the grace of God. And I thank you once again for sending Sister Jeannie over to India. I would like to call Pastor Kevin also sometime. Maybe pray in the presence of the Lord if God leads you. You can come and see our pastors, because our pastors are really encouraged whenever the teachers like you come and talk with them, teach a subject and spend 2-3 days with them in teaching. So we are very much encouraged by whenever the guests are visiting like you. I would like to invite Pastor to come. Anyone can come and encourage us and help us, and we will be help us to be faithful in the ministry God has called us. And therefore, thank you once again for giving me this wonderful privilege. Pray for us. We want to be faithful until the last breath of our life in the work of the Lord. So thank you for the love that you have showed to us. And once again, tomorrow I am leaving for the Washington state, and my wife is going back to New Jersey, to some of your cousins to be with them. Pray for our travels and health. And we are having wonderful climate at present. And we are having very wonderful food with you people. And thank you for your love. I want to close my speech with these words. Thank you once again.